إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة المائدة: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لأقتلنك قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الظالمين فطوعت له نفسه قتل أخيه فقتله فأصبح من الخاسرين فبعث الله غرابا يبحث في الأرض ليريه كيف يواري سوءة أخيه قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخي فأصبح من النادمين من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا ولقد جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات ثم إن كثيرا منهم بعد ذلك في الأرض لمسرفون. These ayat are a short story of an incident that happened well back in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in what we can translate and recite to them the story of Adam's two sons. In truth, when they both made an offering to Allah and it was accepted from one of them but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, I will surely kill you. Said the former, indeed Allah only accepts from the righteous. If you should stretch your hand towards me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand towards you to kill you. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of the worlds. Indeed, I want you to obtain my sin and your sin, so you will be among the companions of the hellfire, or the fire. And that is the recompense of wrongdoers, of zalimin. And his soul permitted to him to kill, murder his brother. So he killed him, and he became among the losers. Then Allah sent a crow searching or scratching in the ground to show him how to hide the disgrace of his brother. He said, "Oh, woe to me! Have I failed to be like this crow and hide the disgrace of my brother?" And he became regretful. The Mufassirun, the majority of the Mufassirun, said that these are indeed the immediate sons of Adam. A minority said this incident is much later. Nevertheless, not being able to bury and not knowing what to do with a dead body could not have been but in the very early time of So the majority of the Mufassirun of this ayat talk about two sons of Adam, two immediate sons of Adam. They named them Qabil and Habil, Cain and Abel. The story does not mention the names, nor did it mention the reason for the dispute. Indeed, there was a dispute. The offering is just to get out of the dispute. It could not have been the reason for the dispute itself. Can you please fill the spaces in front of you so as the brothers can be accommodated? I think the place is, inshallah, just right. They offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something, and then Allah accepts one of the offerings and did not accept the other. It means that one of the two was accepted by Allah and the other was rejected. So the one who was rejected was very upset and he was envious and he threatened to kill his brother. Just before I go to the detail of the story, you will always find that the stories in Al-Quran are more generic. Although it is a true story, it refers to real people and true people and specific time in the past. Nevertheless, you'll find that oftentimes the names are not mentioned. The exact time is not mentioned, and the story in this case becomes applicable to any similar that may happen at any time for any people. So if you find that sort of stories, like in this one, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمْ, the only clue we have is that these are the sons of Adam. Even the sons of Adam could be, we are the sons of Adam. You can say he is the son of Adam and so on. So that that is not specific to be the immediate sons of Adam at the very early, at the very beginning of time. The generality of stories in Al-Quran makes the moral of the story more beneficial. Otherwise you would say, oh, but these are so and so. Oh, that happened in that time. It may not apply to us. No. To the contrary, you'll find that this is, subhanAllah, the style of Al-Quran is that the story is generic, so as the moral behind the story is of benefit for everyone at any time. And that is no exception. So really, if you wish, it doesn't matter if we knew what is behind the story and the exact details. Nevertheless, the story goes that at the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve came down, they had children. Now for this race to continue, there were no other parents apart from Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve. How could this humanity continue, the race continue? Is definitely the marriage between brothers and sisters. Definitely. Without any doubt. Nevertheless, it says that every pregnancy, it carried a male and a female. And the law at that time, the Sharia of Adam alayhi salam, is that it was forbidden for the brother and sister who were in the same birth to get married. They can marry a sister from another pregnancy. Subhanallah, just to separate the matter. So Qabil and Habil, every one of them was born with a sister. So the law was that Qabil would marry the sister was born with Habil and vice versa. Qabil, that is Cain, disputed that for any reason. They said they talk about beauty or otherwise, but it could be anything. It could be that he wanted to marry his sister that was born with him. And Adam alayhi salam, the prophet of the time, and the first prophet, he told him, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, and so on and so forth, but he wouldn't really listen. So ultimately they resorted to offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, by the way, even during the time of the Israelites, the offering, people made offerings, qurbani, and then the one that was accepted by Allah, Allah would send a lightning to accept it. So people know that this was accepted or otherwise it was not. So they, each one of the two, they made an offering. Cain, that is Qabil, was a farmer, and Abel, Habil, was a shepherd. And each one of them chose something to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habil, Abel, he chose the best ram he had, the very finest he could find amongst his herd as an offering. Nevertheless, Cain, to the contrary, was miserly, and he chose something which is of a lower grade. Then ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted Habil's offering, and Qabil was extremely upset. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. In this case, it is why he said, I will and I shall kill you. Then Habil, Abel, he said, if you should stretch your hand towards me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand towards you to kill you. So he made a decision that he's not going to go into that sort of dispute. Although generally, in Islam, you have the option to defend yourself, and some ulama say it is a must, just in case you think that, you know, I am extreme. Nevertheless, that's his brother, and he would not want to get involved. And of course, there are evidence in the last time that the Prophet ﷺ told us, towards the Day of Judgment, that there are turmoils and fitna, and that you'd rather be killed rather than being killed. Nevertheless, this is not really the subject, please. That could be the subject of future khutbas, because we need to understand the detail. I shall not raise my hand towards you to kill you. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of the world. So that, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The one who fears Allah, he would not really stretch his hand to kill his brother, whether a brother who was born to his parents, or a brother who is indeed a brother through faith, or a brother through race, etc. إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمك وبإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار. Indeed, I want you to obtain the burden of my sin by killing me, and your sin that you may have done in the past. Even that, the ulama, they have lots of details. But nevertheless, he did not want to get involved in the killing. He said, no way. No matter what you do, my hand will not go towards you to kill you. And that is the recompense. He said, so you will be among the companions of the fire, and that is the recompense of wrongdoers. You should think that this argument, if you had that argument, then someone who is listening with a heart would say, no, I'm not going to do that. At the end of the day, why am I going to do that? Allah accepted from my brother and did not accept from me. Perhaps I should look into myself and say why I was not accepted. Maybe I should repent. Maybe I should do better. Maybe I should have surrendered to the law of the time, which it was obvious. So it didn't even have to go to the dispute and to the offering and so on and so forth. It was envy. And they say the first crime was because of envy. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فأصبح من الخاسرين. طوعت. The nature of human beings is to see killing as a very ugly thing. It's the ugliest you can imagine. Only having partners of Allah is uglier than killing. So that comes immediately after shirk and kufr walayadu billah. فطوعت له نفسه. Then he started to warm, if you wish, to the idea of killing his brother. And there is another thought I have. If you look at a lot of crimes, whether these crimes are individual crimes for people in jail or so on, or crimes, war crimes, crimes by governments and by regimes, or crimes by gangs, you'll find that oftentimes the one who is committing the crime thinks that if I do that, I have a problem now. But this is going to solve my problem. If I, you'll find that amongst spouses, you find that in business partners, you'll find that in political opponents. If you kill the other, it's bad, but then you'll get into a better situation. Remember, in Surah Yusuf, اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخلو لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. The brothers of Yusuf are good people, and they were prophets later on. They thought that their father loved Yusuf a lot more than they loved them. And they wanted to do something about it. Can they change the heart of their father? They couldn't. They knew that this is here inside. You can't change. If someone loves someone else, it's very, very difficult to change that. So, and they are suffering from envy. They are suffering from that situation. So they said, okay, if you read the ayah, it is obvious that they knew it was wrong. اقتلوا يوسف. Kill him or dispose of him. Put him in a very far place, away from his dad. Then your dad will love you. And you will become good people. وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. You will be صالحون. Righteous people. Just imagine, you kill to become righteous people. And please, look at any crimes, especially nowadays, particularly by regimes. Yeah, if we get rid of these people, alhamdulillah, the country will be all right. And then people are killed in hundreds and thousands. It is never all right. What happened in the story of Yusuf, that their father never, he has never forgotten Yusuf. You always remember them. Perhaps he remembered them even more than before when he was around him. And years passed and he was remembering Yusuf. تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So the plan does not work. It did not work for them and it will never work. And it didn't work for Qabil. For Cain, it did not work. Definitely. He killed his brother. And then, I don't want to go into, he didn't know how to kill him. Even that he didn't know. And then the Mufassirun, they have some graphical ways of explaining how he did it. I'm not going to go into that. Ultimately, he killed him. Then, that rage is gone. And he looked, dead body. His brother, he's killed him. So that the next thing he was thinking, what shall I do with this? I can't just leave him like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent a crow, this black bird, that showed him how to bury, that bird buried another bird. So it scratched into the floor and pushed the other bird and put the soil back. So that was an indication from Allah the Merciful how to bury the disgrace. قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخي فأصبح من النادمين. I am not even like this bird who does not have the same abilities like me as a human. And he was regretful. Nevertheless, he never made tawbah. That's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ورد في مسند الإمام أحمد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقتل نفس ظلما إلا كان على ابن آدم الأول كفل من دمها لأنه كان أول من سن القتل. Every soul being killed from that time until the day of judgment, wherever it is, by any means, unfortunately, Qabil, Cain, will bear the same sin. Of course, not forgoing the sin of the one who did it. So he has a similar سن وليعذ بالله as the one he did it. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. This is a tall subject and it needs treatment, but I thought I need to get the ideas starting. The ayah which followed the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. Because of that, we decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or for corruption in the land, it is as if he had slain mankind entirely. So killing one soul is like killing the whole of mankind. Of course, without legitimate reason. And that legitimate reason, again, I put so many lines underneath it, and it needs to be explained. Can't just say, oh yes, you decide. This is kafir, this is no good, this is whatever. That is not the way Islam does things. And whoever saves one, saves, some ulama say by not even killing, is you saving a soul. And some they say no. If you save by defending, by saving a life from death. You know, someone is poor, someone is maybe dying from hunger, from disease, and so on. So saving a life, a doctors, mashallah, they are the luckiest people in this department, particularly with, if a Muslim doctor puts his niyyah every day that he is saving the lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, inshallah, will reward these people, barakallah fihim. And whoever saves one, it is as if he had saved the mankind entirely, and our messengers had certainly come to them with clear proofs. Then indeed many of them after that throughout the land were transgressors. Zalimun. On Monday, August the 6th, 1945, at 8:15 a.m., the nuclear bomb little boy, because it was a huge thing, was dropped on Hiroshima. So that was just over 70 years. By an American B-29 bomber, the Enola Gay, flown by Colonel Paul Tebbit, directly killing an estimated of 80,000 people. These were killed instantaneously. And by the way, Allah knows how many were killed. How could you in such a situation count? There are people who are uncounted for. There are children that the Japanese government later on could not find any parents or any relatives. No one knew them. And the graphics of what happened, you could find, I'm sure, on some links on the internet. Testimony of old people who actually were children at that time who witnessed that. By the end of the year, injury and radiation, of course, because it was not an ordinary bomb. It was a bomb that caused a heat to rise in the center of the explosion to millions of degrees. And then those who did not die from the bomb, they died from radiation, because the radiation, the nuclear bomb, produces radiation that does not die out immediately. It takes years and years and years to die out. So the estimate is that up to by the end of the year, 166,000 were estimated to have died. The population of Hiroshima was around 350,000. Approximately 70% of the buildings were destroyed, and so on. I'm not picking on that, but this is a horrible thing for humanity to have done. We as Muslims should not consent, should not condone that, not in the past, and not now, and not in the future. The wars during the first and the second, the first one claimed around 55 million and the second claimed around 75 million lives. And we continue to find that humanity is easy about killings. You may think that this is horrible, but the regime in Syria already killed not less than 300,000 people over the last 3 or 4 years. 10 million are displaced. Homes are destroyed. And the world is watching. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that incident. And for us, we need to do steps to stop killings, not to condone killings, to negotiate, particularly amongst Muslims that we witness nowadays, for any reason, regimes alienating their political opponents, throwing tens of thousands in prison, leaving some sick people to die, torture, sexual attacks, and so on. They are happening across the board. We should not accept that. No matter what side we think we are on, we should not be happy for that to have done, to have happened. لا يزال المسلم في سعة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. There is still a way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless the person, the Muslim, he touches haram blood. When that is what that happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are in the hands of Allah. Your brother who you killed or you condoned his killing will be your opponent in the hereafter. It's up to him what to do with you. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برأفتك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم احقن دماء المسلمين. اللهم هيئ لهذه الأمة أمرا رشدا. اللهم رد هذه الأمة إلى دينها ردا جميلا. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت العز الأكرم. Just before we pray, just imagine which side would you want to be. If you are at peace here, alhamdulillah, you have enough to give your brother who is not even finding a place to live in, or would you rather to be on the other side? It is very easy, dear brothers and sisters, really, to give, alhamdulillah, and hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may prevent us from bad things happening to us. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Who saves one life, it's like saving humanity entirely. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله. أقم الصلاة.